All right, if you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and turn to 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 5. Again, this is one of the pastoral epistles. There's three of them, 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, and Paul is writing to encourage Timothy in the ministry and to help him to set things in order in the church. And in chapter 5, we're coming to a point after chapter 4, where he tried to encourage us to continue to walk what the Lord has called us to do and to serve him and follow him and to learn to grow. And, of course, he's speaking to Timothy here, but it's good for all of us for sure. In chapter 5, he's talking about relationships. And today there's a lot of folks who don't understand relationships, especially with the older generation. Most of my life I was raised apart from my grandparents. I met them, I knew them. We stopped in and out on the way through North Carolina because my dad was in the Air Force, so we traveled a lot. But we spent a little bit of time with them, not much, until after I moved back when I was a senior in high school. But one of the things, and I really didn't spend much time with any older folks anywhere else. We just, you know, we didn't have people like that where we were living and stuff that we dealt with or saw on a regular basis. But I got to know my grandparents, and I was glad for that, and got to know a lot more about them and their lives. But this is talking about that very thing. And today, a lot of folks are like I was, and they don't really understand what it is to have that family unit. You know, not just mom, dad, but mom, dad, and grandparents, maybe even great-grandparents. And then, of course, the other side of it's the grandchildren and great-grandchildren. But a lot of folks don't understand that, and a lot of our older folks are getting left behind. In other words, their kids don't come to see them. They don't talk to them. They don't care much about them. They figure they lived their life, and now it's my turn to live my life. And Paul sets some of that straight here a little bit, and he's trying to help Timothy to know what the responsibility of the church is. We have individual responsibilities, but we also have responsibilities as a church, how to handle these situations. Let's begin reading in verse 1 of chapter 5, and we're going to go down to verse, I think it's, where is it at? Verse 16, okay. Let's begin reading. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity. Honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home, and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable for God. Now she that is a widow indeed, and desolate, trusteth in God, and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure and is dead while she liveth, and these things give in charge, that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, and specially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she had lodged strangers, if she had washed the saints' feet, if she had relieved the afflicted, if she had diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith, and withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. Father, again, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for how Paul, as a man of God, had a desire to train up other men. And as he has written this letter to Timothy to encourage him in the ministry, as Timothy here is a younger man who is in the And Paul wants to help him and encourage him in the things of God so he would know exactly how to treat folks, how the relationships that we have should be taken care of. And Father, I pray you would just guide and direct in our church that we would be wise and deal with the things that you've taught Timothy here the same way. Well, thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. So here he talks about fellowship of the believers, the verse 1 and 2. He says, "Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity." And so he's starting out here. This word elder is the word presbyterios. And this word elder has several meanings. It depends on the context that you're looking at. In this particular context, it's specifically talking about an older man. How do I know that? Because I look at the context, "but entreat him as a father and the younger men as brethren." So it's clear that the context is talking about somebody who is an older person. And he tells us that we're not to rebuke him. And you know, we looked at this the other week. I guess it was week before last in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. We saw how older folks begin to get as they grow older. They don't hear as good. They don't see as good. Definitely not as fast as they used to be. And I'm over 60, I know. And a lot of you guys in this room could say the same thing. And so we're just, sometimes we're even a little bit ornery. I used to, when I was growing up, and I was 17, excuse me, when I moved back to North Carolina, and I had 14 nephews and nieces, or no, cousins, excuse me, I had cousins, I had cousins, and but anyway, I was the oldest, and I'd play with them and whatnot, but my grandfather, he would get so mad, and I understand why. I mean, we're running through the house. We're slamming the screen door this way, and this, and he's yelling at us, and we're just running on and keep on going, whatever. But he would get pretty ornery. And I used to think, boy, I hope I never get like him. And I don't think I'm to the degree he was. Of course, I probably didn't have the situation he had. But I can see myself today not being as patient as I used to be. I mean, I love to play with kids. I mean, I'd roll around, poor Becky and Nathan, they didn't experience too much of that because I was basically a grandpa to them, you see. And with the other kids, we hung out together and I was in the youth group and played all the games and spent the 24-hour night over things and did all those things we used to do and really had a blast doing those things. But that's what he's talking about here, is be careful not to rebuke, okay, not to chastise or upbraid. And really, specifically with the words that we might say. And we're to entreat them as a father. And how do we treat a father? How do we take care of a father? As Christians, we know that the Bible teaches us that we're to honor our father, right? That's the way we ought to treat the elder or older folks in our church. And so we're to treat them with respect. Of course, he goes on and says, "and the younger men as brethren." In other words, the younger men, we treat them as equals, as folks that, you know, we're trying to get along, trying to learn, trying to all grow, and we have that relationship. And then he goes on and he says, "the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity." Again, same thing with the mother or the woman, you treat her as a mother. Again, you honor her as well. And you you have respect for her. And the younger girls or ladies, if you will, as sisters, and then you treat them with all purity. And that purity has to sense of with holiness, with respect, that type. And he goes on and he talks about in verse 4, he says, "but if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable for God." And so he's talking about widows here, and he divides these up in two groups. There's the widow indeed, actually it could be three groups, but there's a widow indeed and one who's not indeed. And he really kind of explains that here, and he kind of shows us how we're to treat those. And again, God has always had a special place for widows. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 18, he said this, through Moses, says, doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and love the stranger in giving him food and raiment. He doth execute the judgment of the fathers and widow, and love the stranger, and giveth him food and raiment. Deuteronomy 24:17 says, thou shalt not pervert the judgment of the stranger, nor of the fatherless, nor take a widow's raiment to pledge. Isaiah 1:17 tells us, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. And so God has a special place for them, and he wants us to understand that there's a special care that we're to take overseeing them. In Malachi 3:5, he says, and I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against the false swearers, against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. So again, he's talking about that he's going to judge those who don't take care of the fatherless, of the widows as well. And so again, he's laying out this responsibility for us. And the early church, we know there was a situation, Acts chapter 6, we're not going to go there, where it talks about the first deacons. And there was a cry out because the Grecian Hebrew, or the Grecian widows, were not being, they were Hebrews as well, but they were not being taken care of properly. And so that was the whole purpose of instituting the deacons, the first deacons. And they chose six at that particular time to oversee the waiting on tables, to oversee, to help out in that situation where the widows, so the apostles could study and continue to help others through the Word of God. So we see this as something that God is concerned about, and Paul is sharing with Timothy that we would understand what he wants us to do here. Now, he talks about this, and he's giving Timothy these instructions. And remember, in this day especially, a lot of these women probably worked outside of the home, maybe not nearly as many as do today. But back then, even the men probably, they didn't have pensions. I mean, there was nothing there. Social Security wasn't invented yet. They had whatever they had, and that was all they had, you know. And so they didn't have those things. They didn't have a lot of help. There wasn't a lot left for them. And as they grow older, of course, it's harder for them to take care of themselves. And, of course, society was different back then because you had the extended family. Many times the oldest man in the home was the patriarch, whether it was the grandfather, great-grandfather, whatever. Which is different today in our society. We don't practice that. But again, they did back in those days. And so here we see that he's talking about this, and he says to them, if any widow have children or nephews. And I thought, well, okay, that makes sense. If I'm reading that, that's children or they have nephews. And I'm scratching my head and thinking, why would they choose and pick on the nephews, you know? Anyway, looking up the word, it really means grandchildren. That's what that means. Is that grandchildren, as well as their children, are responsible for their parents, especially in this case, it's talking specifically, well, it doesn't necessarily say a woman, but a widow, and they're to take care of them. Now, that doesn't mean that they have to take care of them in their home, because there's time. Sometimes we can't do that. It's impossible. I think that's the best choice. I know my grandmother, before she passed on, when she was getting sick, she had cancer, she told us, my mother, myself, and my sister said, I don't want to go to a nursing home. She told me that. And so I told her we'll do everything we can to not let that happen. Now, her illness, she didn't get really bad, where it took a long time for her, which we were very grateful for, but we hired somebody, we came into the house, and we spent nights there. We just made sure we were there. Somebody was there all the time until she passed away. We took her to the hospital. I actually called the ambulance, and she went to the hospital, and she passed that night. But we were able to do it, and it wasn't that bad. Now, there are some situations you can't do it, and what it's talking about is taking care of them. So there are other ways to take care of them other than having them in your direct home. If you're a young mother, for instance, and you got four or five or six children, It's going to be hard to care for somebody else. Very hard. I think you got your hands full already, you know. And so it may be appropriate that there's another way to do that. But you're still responsible according to the scriptures. And that's what it's talking about here. In fact, he says in verse 8, he says, "But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of the of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." Basically saying that he's lost is what he's kind of saying there. Denied the faith. Okay. Now, Paul's not teaching you can lose your salvation, but he's teaching us that that's what you're acting like. You're acting like someone that would be in the world lost and wouldn't understand the principles of God and wouldn't follow the Word of God. So he's trying to teach us what we're supposed to do and how we're to do it. He says in verse 4, it says, "For that is good and acceptable before God." In other words, that's what God wants us to do. And part of it is when you look back on it, and this is something we all have to understand too, is that when you were little, now this doesn't happen much today. We have a lot of moms and dads that aren't worth their salt. They don't take care of their kids at all. But I know most of us in this room probably would say, "Mom was there when I needed her, or dad," or whatever. Maybe not in all cases, I understand that. But when I look back, and my mom wasn't perfect, neither am I, because, you know, she's probably more perfect than me, because she hung out there, took care of me. Dad left, and she took care of me and my sister in every situation. But when I look back on that, and I think about that, you know, I do feel like I owe her something. After all, she took care of me. I need to take care of her. And so we had that opportunity as well. So here again, that's kind of what it's teaching here. In verse 5, he says, "Now she that is a widow indeed," he's kind of talking about the qualifications of a widow here, "and desolate," that means there's nobody out there to help her. That's what a widow indeed is. Now, we have widows in our church, but we don't have any widows indeed. And everybody understands why, right? Because I don't think any of our widows are desolate. I don't think any of our widows don't have children or grandchildren. In fact, all of them that I know do. And so there's somebody there that can help. And that's not saying we as a church don't try to help, reach out and those things. But it says that as far as being responsible for them. In other words, if there's a widow indeed, we'll see that in just a minute. The church is responsible for them. If they're members of this church, and they're widows indeed, we are responsible for them, is what he's teaching. So he talks about a widow indeed. He says, "And desolate, trusted in God, and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure, he's flipping the coin, is dead while she liveth." So this is a widow who is eat, drink, and be merry. Really not a godly person at all. The church has no responsibility to this person whatsoever. Why would that be? Even if she was a member of this church, why would that be that we wouldn't have responsibility over her? I'm sorry? Out of the will of God, she would, if we took care of her, what we'd be saying is we agree with what she's doing. And we'd be putting our stamp of approval on those very things that she's doing. Same way, if we're doing things out in the world that we shouldn't be doing, that's what we're doing too in our church, is if we know about it and allow it to go on, then we're putting our stamp of approval on it. And so that means our church has got a problem. And the only way you can deal with that is take care of that situation. Verse 7, he says, "And these things give in charge, that they may be blameless." And so he's trying to help us to understand what we need to do to be right with God. Verse 9 says, "Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man." Now, I studied this out a little bit. I used to think, well, one man at a time situation, in the sense that her husband dies, she remarries. But I don't think that's what it means here. I think it means that she's been married one time. She's a widow. She's above the age of 60. That's what 80 is. And the reason for the one man, I've read up on some of this too and tried to find out more information. But if a person marries somebody, she's going to have a greater extended family just by marrying somebody else. There are going to be more people in her family, another whole another family maybe. And so from that reason, maybe that's the reason, I don't know, but again, I don't have any concrete evidence, but it says here, having been the wife of one man. That's clear if you read it in the text. And it goes on, says, this woman, this widow, is well reported of for good works. If she had been brought up, if she had brought up children, and to me that means that, you know, maybe she didn't have children. If she had lodged strangers, if she had washed the saints' feet, or it could mean, better yet, a condition that she did raise her children well, she did lodge strangers, she did wash the saints' feet, she did relieve the afflicted, she did work diligently, following every good work. I think that's more of the context is what it's talking about here. This is a widow indeed. This is someone the church is responsible to take care of. If this person is, and I believe it's whether a man or a woman probably, I think you could go as far as say that if they're members of this church, we have a responsibility as a church family because they're our family. If they have nobody else, they're our family. Does that make sense? And I think it's what Paul is trying to help Timothy see as he is leading a church, trying to help him to understand how we deal with these people, how we're the ones we're responsible, the ones we're not, because then he starts and goes in verse 11 and says, but the younger widows refuse. He said, don't take in anybody under 60. It's not the church's responsibility. Why? Because they're still lively. They haven't grown older. They're not, of course, our society is different. We have a lot of drugs that keep us going, I think. I don't know. But they're more lively. They're more capable. They're able to take care of themselves. And he says here, those folks, for when they have begun to wax wanton, they have desires against Christ, okay, they will marry. And so it's not the responsibility of the church to take care of them because they still have opportunities. He says, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. In other words, they're no longer, Christ is not first in their life, and somebody else is. He's saying then, verse 13 says, withal they learn to be idle, wandering from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. And so he says, those aren't widows indeed. And he goes on and gives this and says, verse 14, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some are already turned aside after Satan. So he's probably dealing with this in his church right now. And Paul is helping him to see that this is what's taking place. This is what's happening. And he's giving him some instructions and some things to go by so he can make some wise decisions. In verse 16, he concludes this part of the chapter. He says, if any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. Again, this is speaking of that case where if a widow is indeed, she's above 60, has only been married once, and has shown that she's a godly woman, if she has children, they're responsible for her. Anybody have any questions about this or any further thought on it? We got a lot of Bible students in here. Did I hear amen? Anybody, any thoughts? Now, we've seen this in action in our church as far as folks taking care of their parents and that type of thing. And that's always a blessing. Every time I've seen that happen, especially in our church over the last several years, I've seen how God has gotten the glory through those things. It's because I think when we do it right, God's way, He'll always get the glory. And that's the most important thing we can do. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for this time. We thank you for the word of God, and we pray you'd help each one of us to see the need to follow your word and understand what it means and be able to apply it in our lives, that we too can be the church that you want us to be. we're about the only church here other than the Catholic Church, Father, and we need to make sure that what we're doing is right so we don't misguide and mislead people and give them a false perception of who you are. And I pray you continue to guide and direct in each one of our lives, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name.